Welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Blog Talk Radio.
We live in an amazing time. We have cars that can almost drive themselves. We can talk on a computer to somebody in another country or halfway across the world or all the way on the other side of the world. There's just no limit, really, to the technology that's going on out there in this world right now. So it tells us there's some really smart people out there doing some really crazy, amazing things. And I just have thought about this Bible and how some people look at it as a history book and some people look at it as, you know, well, you don't, you know, church was something you used to go to when you didn't have anything else to do. And I look back through the Bible and through the ages, and I see that God is the same God from the very beginning of the foundation of the world as he will be when there's a new heaven and a new earth out here one day. So I look at that and I think, you know, morally we've got problems today. The work ethic thing is really a sad situation, you know. In my area, there's not a lot of jobs, but, you know, it's you want to bring the jobs in here, but at the same time, if you're hungry today and you need a job, you need to go get the work. And, you know, I've traveled around the country working and doing different things, and, you know, you go different places and you see different ideas. And I was talking to a guy that has a real good job with a large Fortune 500 company, and he was talking about how in our country we're about 6 months or a year behind what other countries and the rest of the world are doing. So why is that? You see what I'm saying? So I'm not trying to take us on a technology journey today or say that computers are going to overtake the world or, you know, all these different things. I'm worried about what the one-on-one person is going to do with their relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if I keep going, if I was born from mom and dad and I've gone through life and I just keep going through life and I don't make any detours, I'm concerned about is getting from one step to the next step, that kind of thing, then I'm going to have problems. And I'm going to have problems because I was born with a sin nature, and the Bible tells me I've got to do something about that sin nature. I can't get rid of it on my own. I can't cure my sinning on my own. But I can come to the realization that I need Jesus. And that's when the healing can start. That's when I surrender to myself, and that's when God starts to move in my life and some amazing things happen. I'm amazed at the standards that people want to hold other people to. And Facebook is a prime example of that. You know, I mean, there's so many comments on this that you want to make, but it's so amazing to me that there's a bunch of people protesting and doing all these things out there. And when you stop these people and say, well, what do you believe in? You know, you're against everything everybody else is doing. What do you believe in? And they have no clue. You see what I'm saying? Or I'm for this one's rights. I'm for men's rights. I'm for women's rights. I'm for children's rights. Well, how do you implement the plan that you want to implement? You know, politicians, I've been going around, I'm spending my own time, my own money, to go and listen and try to take part and help the community that I live in, the state that I live in, and I hear all this talking. But at the end of the day, I never say anybody say, here's what I'm going to do day one, here's what I will do, here's what can be done, and this will generate immediate money. Nothing. None of that. Okay? None of that. I never hear anything on that. Now, I have seen the rhetoric toned down on I'm going to create jobs, because most people have never done that. And if you haven't done it for yourself, it's really kind of hard to just decide, well, I'm going to be a jobs creator. Well, I saw where a local nonprofit is getting $500,000 to study something. So there's going to be $500,000 come into Huntington. They'll do all this resource, spend all this money, when that $500,000 could have went directly to some of these local businesses with ideas for expansion, and the money would have gone to the front line. It would have all been spent on people. It would have all been spent on inventory. It would have all been spent on resources, and something could have come out of it. Now I'm going to spend $500,000. The money's going to be gone, and it's going to say, yes, you should do it, or no, you shouldn't. And then you don't have the money because you spent it on the research. See, we're getting all this intellectual stuff, and the ideas are great. But what's happening is we're studying stuff to death, and we're spending all this money, and then our seed money's gone on them. And you say, well, this has nothing to do with Jesus. It's all interrelated because people look at the corruption. They look at the crime. They look at the sadness. They look at the politician that is just, you know, he's got everything he wants. If you're on the federal level, he's got health care that you don't have. And he ain't paying a dime for it, you know. And yet he wants to tell you that you've got a good plan when your deductibles are sky high. When it doesn't pay for anything and your medicines are never covered, you don't have a right plan. And so many times, and I've seen so many insurance professionals, because I've been in this business for 30 years, on Facebook saying, look, you've got to get back to the insurance companies. Let them set this thing back up because they know all the numbers. I mean, the insurance industry can tell you how many deer hit cars last year in West Virginia, in Kentucky, Ohio, across the country, how many cars were stolen. I mean, they keep all the data. They know everything that happens in the insurance industry. Same thing on medical. There are medical insurers out there. They want to get part of the marketplace. They want you to buy their plan, right? But what we did is we took away the competition. You see where we're going with that? And now we've got a sad situation. We've got people that can't afford it. There's no reason that if all of us pay in a little, we ought to be able to cover some of these claims that are going on out there. And you say, what, don't figure into the Bible. What are you doing? I'm trying to show you where the devil and where the world system is taking us and sidetracking us away from the one thing that has always mattered and will always matter, and that is, are you saved? Are you going to heaven right now if you drop dead? Let me tell you about your health insurance. If you don't pay them $25, $50, $100 a month on your bill, you're probably just as well off as spending all that money on health insurance. Because at the end of the day, you can't pay it anyway. I mean, if you can't eat because your health insurance, or you can't pay your car payment to get to work because your health insurance, something is wrong. But there we go. But let's draw it back to the Bible. I'm not here to try to tell you how to live, what to do. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. Then you choose to follow it. You choose to jump in there in the middle of it and go with it, or just lay it down and walk off and leave it. Now, the problem is, if you're born with the sin nature, and we all were, and we don't pick up Jesus and we don't surrender these other things, guess what? Then there's no choice about where I'm going to spend eternity. I can't have a choice in something if I've never made one, right? But Jesus stands and he wants to save you. We've come out of the most, in the world, this is the most recognized Christian time of year, the Easter holiday, a time when Jesus has a death, Jesus has a burial, and Jesus has a resurrection. So Jesus picks his own life back up. Folks, that's power. He had the power to lay down his life. He had the power to call others back from the dead as he did Lazarus. So the day, the time or the day or the plan is really simple stuff. And the time and the plan and the simple stuff is that God has a plan for your life. He's got something he needs you to do, but most importantly for him and for you is he's got an eternal life set aside for you. Our problem is we're not interested in anything except me right now. And when I start and I stop and I look and I see some of the things, and I just think, well, the standards that other people, man, oh, man. I think it's in Romans chapter 2. It talks about judging another man's servant. I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. The only one that's going to ever have any power to judge me is Jesus Christ. So everybody else that wants to throw something in or take something out or attack or be stupid or whatever they want in attack of me, just keep on keeping on. Because at the end of the day, there's just no sense in it. because it's about the Bible. It's about what Jesus' plan is. It's about the plan to get people saved. You know, I can take a lot of everything, but there's some things I'm just not going to listen to. You say, well, Jesus, he let them spit on him, and he sure did. And I think we all do that to a certain extent. We try. We want to cajole people over to your way of thinking. We want to love them into Jesus. We want to support them. We want to carry on with them. We want to be their buddy. But at the end of the day, when you come to a position where you're not making any headway with people, you got to dust off the dust from your feet, as Jesus says, and go on. And man, we're at such a place in this country because nobody wants to hear about Jesus. Now we see some places people getting saved, and some places people are getting baptized, and it's wonderful. We're glad. We're hopeful. We hope it always goes like that. But at the end of the day, the majority of the people are just not interested. The majority of the people don't care one bit. Isn't that so sad? See, our technology has exploded. I'm as guilty as anybody. That phone, my messages, who's calling, who wants a quote, who wants to go look at a house, we got all these millions and millions of different things going on, right? We're trying and trying and trying to do these things. We're rushing and rushing and rushing. You know, I mean, my kid's got a schedule. She's in seventh grade. I don't see how parents work. I don't see how they do it. I mean, you say, well, I don't have anything to do with technology. Well, sometimes you can get so busy doing things that really, truly don't matter that the really important things get swept aside because you kind of have the idea or the feeling that you can catch that anytime. And guess what? You can't catch it anytime. If God's not speaking to your heart and telling you to do more or to do something or to surrender or to get saved or to come to church or to do more for him or to tell people about, I mean, God's going to speak to your heart. We've been talking to a fellow at church, and, you know, he's going through some things because God's telling him to do more and do more. And the more he does, the more excited he gets. And the more excited he gets, the more he wants to know what's the next chapter. And if you read your Bible, you'll want to know what's in the next chapter. Our biggest problems today is nobody wants to read the next chapter. You see where I'm going with that? Nobody's interested in the plan that Jesus has for their life. You got it? And the thing is, you say, well, you know, I just, when I want to. Listen, it says many are called, but few are chosen in the Bible. So the call's going to go out to the whole world to get saved. People are going to reach out. Everyone's going to hear about Jesus. Everyone has an opportunity to respond to Jesus. But if I'm sitting over here thinking, well, man, technology's so great, and they can do me an artificial knee, my knee hurts, they can do me an artificial hip, they can replace my heart, they can replace, you know, and they're doing some amazing things. Maybe I think I'll just freeze myself forever, and then when they make it to where we can live for all eternity, then I'll come back. I'm going to pay cryogenics, I think, is the term for that you see on television a lot. So if I go over here to the end of the book of Revelation, at the end of the Bible, it tells me there's a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are washed away, wiped away, burned away, whatever it is. So that's not – see, if I read that, I'm not going to live forever, okay? Because the Bible, the same heaven that everybody wants to go to, is talked about in the Bible. Now it's telling me that there's a new heaven and a new earth. So even if I'm living forever, I mean, you're not going to live forever. Does that make sense? So it tells me that if I'm saved and I take my last breath on this earth, I become absent from the body, present with the Lord. See where we're going with that? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Can you follow me? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. So when I take my last breath, something inside of me, that thing called a soul, is leaving out of here, and it's going someplace. And that's just the way it is. Now, either I'm going to go along with it, you know, and be caught up to meet it at some future point or whatever, or I'm going to hell because I never would receive what Jesus Christ has done for me. And wouldn't it be a crying shame to have all this technology and all this information on Google, everything to answer any question you want at your fingertips, and to end up in hell? In the history of the world, there's never been more information available for more topics than there is right now. All you got to do is type it in on Google, and it'll search it out and give you 1,000 listings for them. Isn't it a crying shame? And you can do the same thing for the Bible. If you don't own a Bible, don't feel bad. You don't have to go buy a Bible today. But I'd say go to the Bible and Google John chapter 14 and start reading. Start reading about a place that Jesus has prepared in heaven for you. Start reading a little bit about the plan that Jesus has had. See, God's brought this thing down through the generations, through the millenniums. Now we're in a situation where it's come down to, I mean, from everything in the Bible, there's nothing left to fulfill. Now, let's go back thousands of years to the time of Abraham when God calls Abraham out of the land of Ur. And he says, I'm going to make your heirs as the sand of the sea. And Abraham, or Abram at the time, had no kids. Well, guess what? If he had no kids, I believe Abraham knew there was still quite a bit to happen in front of him before his heirs could be the sand of the sea. I believe he knew that there was going to be some time. Okay, it was going to take some years for this to happen. But now you go back and you look, we've entered almost 6,000 years of human history. We've come to a position where we're starting to look around and realize that everything that the Bible has said would happen has happened. People don't want to come to church because they will not endure sound doctrine. Nobody wants to hear their sins preached on them. Nobody wants to hear the fact that we need to assemble ourselves together for strength and to learn and to grow and to do for Jesus. We need some missionary stuff. We need, I'm not missionary because some churches aren't missionary, but there needs to be some kind of an outreach. We need to have some kind of a work that lets people know, hey, this guy identifies with Jesus, not just by his words, but by his deeds, because faith without works is dead. So are you going to do something for Jesus, or are you not going to do something for Jesus? Are you going to come forward for the cause of Jesus Christ and be what he wants you to be, or are you just fading into the sunset? We're going with this mob mentality on things today. I said it earlier in the program about how people will show up because they've been paid or whatever, and then you start asking them why they're there, they have no clue. They're there to get to $20 that was promised them, or the $50, or the chaos that, you know, these people don't know anything. And it's just sad. But there is a willingness for people who don't know to want to jump on other people. You know what I'm saying? To be prompted, I guess, to such an extent that they'll blow out other people's ideas. Listen, if you don't like my idea, just don't go for it. But don't come over here trying to push your idea on mine, and I won't push my idea on you. Now, Facebook is a public forum. I post something out there. You've got every right to post something to it. I've got every right to take it off. Same thing on your thread. If you post something, I could say something, but you know what I do? I pass over that. Because it's none of my business. What you post, what your thoughts are, those are your thoughts. But I'm living in a day and time, and I'm seeing so many crazy little things out there from people. And the thing is, I'm seeing it from people who were raised with the same background, but we've got a completely different view of all this. It's astounding. It's astounding the different views that we have. To be raised in the same little area, to have similar parents, maybe even our parents might even be related because it's such a small area. But the thought process is completely different. You know, and people say, this thought goes through my mind all the time about what came first, the chicken or the egg. Listen, if you want to live like we're living in the United States of America, we've got to have business. But yet some people would burden the business down to where they would move to another country. Well, what people don't understand, there's no reason to stay here and pay somebody $10 or $15 or $20, $30 an hour when you can get somebody to work all day for $5 in these other emerging countries. So when you think about overtaxing business, when you think about running people out, you say, this has nothing to do with Jesus. It has everything to do because you've lost your hopelessness if you don't have a job. And people say, I want a good, high-paying job. Listen, you get what the traffic will bear. You get what happens between supply and demand. If there's a demand for 1,000 jobs and 50,000 people show up, the standards could drop down, right? If there's 1,000 jobs and 50 people show up, guess what? The price of that job is going to go up. It's some basic supply and demand stuff, and it's so amazing to me how people take a political stance against business, but yet they want to tell you that they're for the people, or they want to give the people everything when all these companies are going to end up leaving the country. And you say, well, how does it all fit in with Jesus? Well, the devil's using these things to sidetrack people from the real important thing, which is to get saved. Because if people were to get saved and people were to turn this thing over to Jesus, Jesus could heal this land. And you can read about that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name. So God in his own words right there is saying, if the people who claim to be Christian would just be Christian and would pray to me and seek my face, I could heal the land. I would heal the land. Now, why do I want the land healed? For Brooke Lunsford? No. I'm ready to get the heck out of here and go to heaven. I'm tired of all this aggravation. I'm tired of all this stupidity. I'm tired of all the people that think that there is something out there that's free. The only thing I can find in the universe that is free is for me to stop what I'm doing right now and say, Jesus, save me. Because other than that, I don't see it. I see people thinking stuff's free. I see politicians going into these jobs, they have nothing, and come out and they have hundreds of millions of dollars, and there's never an investigation. I see the greatest crime-fighting unit in the world, the FBI, 100-plus years of wonderful work, is now a laughingstock. I mean, the things, you know, you say, well, we need law and order in our country. We need a moral compass about ourselves. We need to not exploit children. We need to stop the trafficking of young people and the stealing of children. I mean, there's so much heartbreak out there. So much. But there's only one place to go that can set this thing up for you to where you can live forever. I'm hoping that you find it. I'm hoping that there comes a day in all this when you sit back and you say, you know what? Jesus has this figured out. Jesus is the one that's going to take me all the way to heaven. And no matter what kind of problems I have in this life, because like in the United States of America right now, we all live pretty good. Now, you say all of us are the inner city. No, let me rephrase for all you perfect people. Salt Rock, West Virginia people live pretty good. There are poor in Salt Rock, West Virginia. There are poor in the inner city. Jesus said the poor you're always going to have with you. There's some things that are just not going to be fair on this earth. But Jesus said in a place called heaven, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The person who is saved, Jesus, for those that have been faithful over a few things, Jesus is going to make you ruler over many things. God's got a master plan for you. He's got this thing figured out. He sees you with him in a place called heaven at some future point. In fact, because I believe he's in all places at all time, the older I get, the more I realize God's already there with us. If you're a Christian, listen to this. Are you living like you're already in heaven with Jesus? Are you living like a saint? Because, see, we're part of a royal priesthood. We're saints in the eyes of God when we get saved. The moment we get saved, not after a 30-year apprenticeship program. We're a saint of Jesus Christ when we get saved. If I get saved and die in my next breath, the thief on the cross proved that we could be with Jesus today in heaven. See, there's no other God. There's no other plan. There's no other way. Our God has a masterful way and a masterful plan. Boy, he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And, you know, I know technology's nice. Man, it's good to turn on the clicker here of an evening and click through 200 channels and nothing on your TV and get on your phone and, you know, look at everybody's posts and their families that they're so proud of and their promotions, which are fantastic. I mean, there's so much good out of being able to stay in touch. But then you see some things and you're like, wow, you know. I wish these people could come around to Jesus' way of thinking. See, I'm not going to be penalized for what you do or don't do. I could be penalized for not doing what I'm supposed to do. But if I'm talking about Jesus and telling you how to get to him and how to have a relationship and how not to be sidetracked by the technology of the world, guess what? I've done my job. So I'm hoping and praying that you'll do your job. And your job is to surrender to Jesus Christ if you want eternal life. Have a great day. God bless.